Welcome to Church of the King. It is great to be with you today. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor, and I'm excited because I want you to be able to grow in faith, to know who the Lord is, to know what He has for you, and to be able to trust Him in whatever comes your way. That is how we grow strong. In fact, we're in the middle of a series. We're the fourth weekend on a series called Spiritual Roots. It's based out of really the life of Abraham, which is the father of our faith. But the core verse that I hope goes deep down into you is this. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him." That's verse 6. I want you to know Jesus, and I want you to follow Him. And when you do that, there's another component to it that I want you to get, and it's this, that you let your roots grow down into Him, and your lives are built on Him. I want your spiritual roots to grow deep and your life to be built on Christ and on His word to you. And then it says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you'll overflow with thankfulness. I don't know if you've ever been around people whose lives exude gratitude and faithfulness, but they're wonderful to be around. And I love being around people who operate out of the place of thankfulness. How does that happen in our lives? That means that we are so rooted in the truth of who God is, that we're so rooted in the reality that Jesus is with us, that our lives are built on Him, and we know that there's nothing that can shake us. I don't know if you've ever seen people that the smallest thing just shatters their whole world. I don't want you to be that person. I want you to know that even in tough times, we have a rock to stand on. It's the Word of God. It's Christ. And so this week, we're going to look at faith. Faith that helps us to live open-handed, that we're not grasping at things and trying to hold on to physical things or hold on to emotions, that we are able to live open-handed and live a life of generosity and giving. You know, the story of Abram is really a cool one because it is all about faith. Right there in Genesis chapter 12, this is the first week. I'm just going to go through the weeks very quickly. In the first week, we saw that Abram had faith for his future. He was able to hear the voice of the Lord and leave where he was. In fact, it says, Abram, you need to leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, basically everything that he knew and every area of comfort in his life. And then he said, you need to go to the place that I will show you. So we have to have faith for the future to know that God is directing our steps. So it wasn't always easy for Abram at all, but he had faith to put one foot in front of the other in the path that he knew that the Lord had for him. And I want that for you. That's and go back and you can listen to that message. It's really such a good one on how we can trust God with the future. But Abram wasn't perfect. In fact, he messed it up pretty substantially, which was the second message, which was that we need to have faith after our failures, because Abram messed up really big two times because of his fear that he would be killed because of the beauty of his wife. He handed his wife over to two different rulers. The first time, Pharaoh, who took her as a wife until God intervened. And Pharaoh said, whoa, you told me she was your sister. He's like, well, she kind of is, sort of. Like, here's how the marriage arrangement worked. He did that not just with Pharaoh, but also with another king, Abimelech. And Abram recognized the failure. Finally, after repetitively sinning, basically really just prostituting his wife, he knew that there was still a call and a purpose on his life, and there was redemption. He had faith for his future. He had faith after failure. Last week, we heard from Melody about faith for the fight, because the journey that we're on, putting one foot in front of the other, living the life that God has for us, it's letting our roots grow down into Him and our lives built on Him, all the while walking the journey, knowing that it's not always easy, that there's temptations that we may have given into repeatedly, just like Abram, but there is faith after that failure, and that redemption's real and there's still a future. There's also a fight along the way. We'll deal with those fights all through life, because bad things happen in a broken world that's riddled by sin, that we struggle with ourselves. But as we saw last week, Melody talking about the fight where Abram's, some of the people that were closest to him, like a son, his nephew Lot was taken. There's evil people that want destruction and devastation. And Abram faced them and he won the fight. And he took back those that had been captive. And part of the big part of last week was that I want you to have faith for those who are in captivity and know that God has created you to bring, to be one who brings freedom to the captives. This is what Abram did, and that he had faith that God could use him. He also was prepared for that fight. And so part of our faith journey is that we are prepared for the fight that's to come. If you listened to the message last week, you also know that he won. And so today's message is unique. It's really faith to live open-handed, to live generously, and faith to be able to give freely to God and others. How do we do that? Well, the precursor to that is knowing that God holds our future, knowing that even when we mess up, it doesn't mean it's the end of the journey that we're on, that God still has a plan for us. It means that even though there's a fight, we can win. We may not win every battle, but we can know that Jesus has already won the fight. I just have to keep following him. And when we do that, we can live victoriously. In fact, that was Melody's last point last week, that victory is already assured because Jesus has won the victory. We just have to follow him. So what does that practically look like? How does Abram show us how we are to live open-handed, generous, and be able to give with a right heart? Well, really simple. It's Genesis chapter 14, right after he has won the battle. So here's the picture. The enemy came in and brought devastation to a lot of people. One of the families that was devastated was Abram's because his nephew, who was like his son Lot, and his family was taken captive by these wicked kings. Well, Abram recognized, oh my, the fight is here. But he had already prepared. He had 318 armed soldiers, like men in his own household that had been trained for battle. And so he went to the place of captivity, and those men were able to, Abram and those men were able to deliver all of those captives. And so we're picking up the story. It's almost an addendum. It's like it's never, like chapters 14 and 15 slide together, the story of Abram rescuing Lot, and an understanding of Abram's heart to be able to live open-handed, all meshed together. So, if we look at chapter 14, verse 14, Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured. He mobilized and the 318 trained men who had been born into his household, and he pursued Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan, which is in the north of Israel. Interestingly, I was just there very recently, and it's an amazing, beautiful place. He defeated that army. His 318 men defeated them. Look at verse 17. He's won. This is so key for us having have faith for finances, faith for generosity, faith to know that God supplies our needs. Do you know that? Because if you don't know that it's God that supplies all of your needs, you'll grasp, I've got to get more money. I've got to get security. I've got to take all these vitamins, knowing full well they might be snake oil. I'm not talking about legitimate medical. I'm talking just fear driven. So many people live in fear. Have you ever wondered? You ever watched the show Quarters? Where does that come from? Unreconciled wounds and hurts, as well is unrecognized fears that have taken root in your life. So here we are. Abram returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer. You know, we're just going to call him Big K. Abram returned from his victory over Big K and all of his allies, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shava, that is the king's valley. And look at verse 18, because this is key. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. We need to pause because Melchizedek is this really interesting figure who's a representative, a type and a shadow in the Old Testament of the New Testament. It's even revealed in the New Testament. And I don't know if you've ever heard this, but the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so what we see in Melchizedek, this king of Salem, so Salem ultimately becomes Jerusalem. So Salem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's the king of Salem, Jerusalem, and a priest of God. This is a picture of Jesus. And get the picture. Abram's just defeated the enemy. He chased them all the way up north, about from Jerusalem, about 180 miles. He defeated the enemy, captured them all, destroyed the enemy, and took back all of those who had been made slaves, including Lot and his family. And he brings them back down south. And as he's coming south, the kings of the south come to him to thank him. And it's Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the priest of God from what is Jerusalem today. And he brings Abram some bread and some wine. This is a picture of Jesus. And Melchizedek blessed Abram with a blessing. Look at what it says. It says, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. This is an interesting blessing. Because it's not one where, Abram, you're blessed because you kicked the enemy's butt. He says, you're blessed by God, and God's the one who's defeated your enemies for you. You see, it's Melchizedek that I really believe reminded Abram of God's promises long before that he would be a blessing. He'd be made famous, but it had nothing to do with Abram. It had everything to do with God. And so when Abram comes back bringing all of these captives back, those who had been defeated and sold into slavery, taken as slaves, he brings them back to their homeland. The kings come out and are thanking him, like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. This is unbelievable. And it's Melchizedek that reminds him, it's God. It's God who defeated your enemies for you. What is Abram's response? Because this is key. Because Abraham had faith to live open-handed. Abram had faith to live a life of generosity. Abram had faith to be able to give. He didn't live in fear of his financial or physical situation. He lived in faith towards God. And this was a reminder. So what is his response when this king of Jerusalem, a priest of God, comes and blesses him, brings bread and wine and says, thank you so much, but I want you to remember it was God who defeated the enemy for you. The only reason that you were successful is because of God's hand on your life. What is Abram's response? Chapter 14, verse 20. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. This is the principle of tithing that we see not just in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we see this was the foundation that we see later in Mosaic law, the law of Moses, about where you were to bring the tithe, that 10%. That's the foundation. It didn't get wiped away in the New Testament. In fact, in every situation, we see Jesus never lowers the standard. He raises it. Anyone who curses his neighbor is in danger of hellfire. Don't do it. Anybody who in his heart has wished someone dead, it's like you've committed murder in your heart. Anyone who's looked on somebody else with lust, it's just like you committed adultery with that person. See, Jesus never lowered the standard. He always raised it. Why is that? Because Jesus honed in on what was most important. And it's not all of this stuff. Listen, I'm in a really wonderful, beautiful home today. And this is great. It's a blessing and it's wonderful, but it's not what matters. What matters is not the environment of the actual physical home. It's the power and the strength of the relationships inside of them. This is the foundation that we see for living open-handed. And what we see later in Mosaic law and saying, hey, bring 10%. Why? Because Abram understood that it was God that had blessed him. It was God that had brought the victory. And so he took all of the spoils of war and he gave, out of faith, 10%. to Melchizedek, this type and shadow of Jesus, because it was Melchizedek that showed him, hey, thank you, that's awesome, you're great. I'm blessing you because it was God that defeated your enemies. And when Abram had that revelation, it's not about me, he was able to freely give. Look what happens. It says, Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. And now remember, Melchizedek's not the only king there. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all of the goods that you've recovered. Verse 22, Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord God Most High, creator of the heaven and the earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. I'm only going to accept what my young warriors have already eaten, and I request that you give a fair share of goods to my allies, Aner, Eshal, and Mamre. In other words, all of the goods that he had given, he's keeping none for himself. He's giving it back to everyone. But he took of that 10%, all of this hoard of wealth that he had, he said, Lord, here is your portion. My only portion is what my men ate, not even me. I'm giving it all back. He lived completely open-handed. How could he do that? Because he had faith in God. Genesis 12. The first time he heard the voice of the Lord saying, leave everything that you know. Go to the place that I'm going to show you. He did. God made promises to him. I'm going to bless you. He believed God for those promises. Even after his failures, God still showed up. And Abram realized, wow, there's redemption for my mistakes, and I can still follow God. When he was faced with an enemy that came in and ravaged and destroyed and stole and put into bondage and slavery those whom he loved, he had faith in that moment that God was with him, and he faced the enemy and he defeated them. Then he realized, I think in large part because that picture of Jesus and Melchizedek said, thank you so much. I'm going to bless you. You're blessed because God was with you and it was God who defeated your enemies. And that was a reminder for Abram that everything that he had, where he was, every good thing in his life came from the Lord. That light bulb moment where he truly believed every good, the Bible tells us, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. And he went, whoa, why would I keep any of this? It's all yours. And he gave God 10% of that spoil. And he gave everything back to the people that he had delivered, the kings and the people. What happens next is huge. It's Genesis chapter 15. But when this was written, there was no designation on chapters because it goes from Abram fights the enemy and delivers Lot and this whole multiple kings. There were city-states, so these kings of these cities, all of their people that have been taken captive, he frees them all, including Lot, his family, and he brings them back and gives all of the kings their people back and all of the people their homes back and all of the plunder back, but he took the 10% and gave it to God and kept nothing for himself other than what his own men ate. Here's what happens next. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. And then God goes on to tell him about how he's going to be made great. That even though Abram's an old man, that he's going to have a son and that the whole world's going to be blessed through him. And the one thing that he never could ever, even though Abram was wealthy, he could never purchase, which was a son. God was going to give it to him. What can we learn from this story? Then when we are willing to recognize that every good thing comes from God, when we are willing to release the physical resources that are in our hand, and we give them willingly to God and others, there's a blessing that comes. Let me just say this. two things. The power of your spending reveals what you value. We value electricity. We value transportation. That's why I pay for cars. Do I pay for electricity, like for air conditioning? Like, your spending reveals what your value, but what you freely give, like, we do that. Nobody likes paying a car note. Nobody likes paying an Entergy. Nobody can do, like, oh, I can't wait to do that. But have you ever seen people willingly and happily freely give generously? Because our giving reveals what we believe in. I want you to believe so much in what God has for you, a future, redemption, the defeat of the enemy, so that you and others can walk in freedom, that you go, tithe, that's nothing. I'm giving way more than that. You know why? Because I know that God is true to his word, that he's a God who blesses. That Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory is true. And so, Lord, I'm trusting you with everything. So everything I have is yours, just like Abram did. This is the foundation for freedom financially, because it's not about your finances. Do I tithe? You better believe it. Do I believe that mature Christians tithe? Absolutely. But listen to me, there is a difference between writing a check that you are spending money. I value God's word. I value the church. I'm going to write a tithe check. Here it is. I'm not doing that begrudgingly. In fact, Paul says, don't do that. Be a cheerful giver. God doesn't want you to spend your 10% on tithing. He wants you to give out of an abundance because you know him and you trust him and you joyfully give because you know. You don't, like Abram, you don't have to be afraid. God speaks, says, don't be afraid. I'm going to protect you. Your reward's great. That's how I want you to live, open-handed, generously, faithful, because you trust God. Acts 20:35, I'm ending with this, says this. Says, we know that Jesus says, you can look it up, Acts 20:35. We know that Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. See, that's a very true statement. It's better to give than to receive. But the reason that maybe you have trouble giving, I believe people want to give, but they're scared to give. It's because their fear is bigger than their faith. It's better to give than to receive. But the reason that people have trouble giving is not because they don't want to give. They do want to give. They feel like they can't. It's better to give than to receive. But until you have received the truth of who God is and that he's always going to take care of you, you don't have to be afraid. He's going to protect you. His reward for you is great. Until you receive that, you're always going to struggle to give. So I just pray that you can receive and know that God's with you. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you realize you don't have faith for God's provision for your life. Maybe it's painful for you to generously give. Like, I can't tithe because, like, where are my finances going to come from? I hate that for you. You know why? Because that's fear-based. That's not trusting God. I can't be a blessing to the people around me because what if I don't have... That's fear-based. That's not faith. Trust God with every aspect of your life. Maybe you've been living in fear financially. God wants to set you free. You got to trust him. He wants you to live not just compartmentalized, oh, here's my financial life, here's my relational life, here's my spiritual life. No, no, no. See, those three need to come together. This is my life. I give to you everything, Lord. That's you. I want to pray for you. You've been living in fear, that you can put your faith in God. You don't have to be afraid. He protects you. He's got a reward for you as you follow him. Just pray something like this. Say, Jesus, I trust you. I give everything to you. I believe you died on that cross to wash away my sin. Jesus, cleanse me. I receive that from you. I trust you. I believe you when you say I don't have to live in fear, that God, that you have a purpose and a plan. You've got a path for me. You know where I am. You've got a place for me. I believe that. And Jesus, I surrender everything to you. Your name I pray, amen. Listen, if that's you, let us know what's going on.
connect. Do you know how to reach us?
It's not hard. You're watching this video online. You know how to do it. Let us know so we can connect you with relationships that can help you grow, resources that can help you grow, because we love you and care for you. Look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.